Hebrews 11. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The only problem with that is that you will hope for everything else before you hope for Messiah. Messiah is the last option of your hope. Remember when we studied the Jebusites? The Jebusites represent hope. Go to Judges 1 for a minute. They were one of the seven tribes that were inhabiting the Promised Land. And the seven tribes represent the seven mountains of the high places in your mind. If you want to understand that more, there are about 160 tapes down there to understand the high places. But just stop and think about all the things that you have hoped for your entire life. The list is endless. And I pray that the list has stopped. Because every one of the things that you hoped for and achieved only produced corruption. It only produced disappointment. And so if there is still any hope left with regard to something that you hope for, then you're still being deceived. You're still walking in the way of the flesh, and you cannot experience the fullness of the gift of faith. Now, that's a biggie. Until you see that hope is the last enemy to be destroyed, so that we then put all our faith only in the alive hope, or the lively hope, which is the resurrection of Christ, then, if you can see that, then you will stop being deceived. By definition, you only hope for the things that you think you need or want, obviously. Otherwise, you wouldn't hope for them.
That's why it says, walk in the place you've received Him. That's where it happens.
Okay, look at in the book of Judges, it talks about how the land was divided, etc. And then in verse 21, chapter 1, and this is really critical. And the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. That's always the case. Remember, each of the tribes, their job was to drive out the foreign, or the tribes, each of the 12 tribes of Israel, their job was to drive out whoever the inhabitants were by any and all means. And this incredible statement here in the Scriptures, it says, and the Jebusites dwell in Jerusalem unto this day. And if you remember, we went through this whole thing to show and to prove how the Jebusites typified hope in everything other than the resurrection. So when it says that hope is the substance of things, I mean, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen, you can't come to that point until you have seen the end of all other hope. Because always and ever, there will be one of the Jebusites there with another false hope. That's a pretty big tribe, because there's an infinite number of hopes that the human race has. Anybody got anything they help for? I would have sold my firstborn, if I had one, to get rid of the pain. And so, for years and years and years, my hope was that we could do something about the pain that I experienced. Finally, I accepted it. Some of you hope for your children. Some of you hope that your job will be better. Hope that you will have more money. Hope, whatever the hope is, hope that you'll be healed. The hope, the false hope, the Jebusites, are the venue of all religious hucksters. And all false deception. False deception is a little redundant, but all deception is something that you hope for, something that you would like, something that you would like to change. So until, when it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen, I promise you that you will always put another hope in front of the resurrection until you come to the end of all hopes.
How they fill up stadiums.
Oh, yeah.
With this hope that they don't have, you know, they don't have to die and they can have it too.
Well, I'm not worried about them right now. I'm worried about you.
I'm worried about them. I'm worried about them.
Let's go to 1 Peter. Does everybody? I mean, this is so critical that it's. You assent to it. You understand it.
Yeah.
Michael, can you buy this?
Yeah, I'm starting to see it all the time. I mean, by not doing it, sitting there thinking about, you know, this was different, that was different, and I realized.
Good.
You know, this is stupid. Why do I keep doing this?
It's the way of the beast. Until the last inhabitants of these high places have been driven out, and you drive them out by the recognition of their emptiness, their vanity, their futility, then they have no more power over you. This is again, when he says he desires truth in the inward part, in the hidden part, he'd make us to know wisdom. This is the venue, so that you're no longer deceived by. What can these 70 elders up here in your mind say that's going to deceive you now? If you see the futility of all of these hopes, there can be no idea can come up. Wherever you look, you'll see it's finished, because you've experienced the lively hope as opposed to, or the alive hope instead of those dead hopes. Okay, well, let's 1 Peter. In let's it's the trial of your faith in verse 7. I can't believe we have to go back that far. You greatly rejoice, in verse 6, we greatly rejoice, though for now, for a season if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold tests or temptations. The heaviness means weighted down, depressed, if you need be. In other words, if there is some false hope, then you need to experience the heaviness. That's the Holy Spirit doing it. And you call that a trial of faith. The Holy Spirit calls it His grace waiting for you to see that only in the resurrection is there hope. Now, the evidence of your calling is the trial of your faith. That's what it says. When you greatly rejoice, though for now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the... that the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing or presence or revelation, the parousia of Jesus Christ. When He appears, then He, light, destroys all darkness, false hope. But He, in His humility, will not occupy until the false hopes have been destroyed. Now, you've got to, this is why you go to war with your mind. If there is something in your mind that you're convinced is a real hope, a real desire for change, then you've got to go after it. If you cannot be convinced by the preaching or the experience of others. But if you still go after the false hope while you're being called a Christian or being called a disciple, then you're neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm. Now think of all of the religious hucksterism that's based on false hope, the selling of false hope. It's endemic. It's massive. As Gary said, you fill stadiums throughout the world by selling false hope. But again, I'm not concerned with the stadiums across the world. I'm concerned with your false hope. Now, do you have the courage to admit that your hopes are false? Or do you still hang on to them?
I have a false hope about a false hope. I have a thing that I hope goes well, and then I hope that I don't give it too much breath.
Only from Wade. Wade World, Wade World.
I like it though.
You like it? So it's Ronnie World too? Whom having not seen you love, in whom though you now see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And again, the only time the glory word glory is revealed and used, it's about His transfiguration, or His, the glory, what everybody calls the Shekinah glory, was His transfiguration. Now, that's your only vocation, it's your only avocation, it's your only purpose in life, it's your only being, so that you too, by the renewing of your mind, you will be transfigured, to be caught up to meet Him in the air. That's all. That's your only thing that's going on in life. All right. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Remember, be sober. You remember what sober means?
Not into yourself.
What is the wine of Ephraim in Isaiah 28? You remember? The wine of self-seeking. Now, self-seeking can be real obvious or real subtle. Most of the subtle self-seeking is about desiring to use your mind to understand the things of God. You forget that whatsoever things are a gain to you are a loss to Christ. Now, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust or desires or hopes in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of life. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. As he is in this world, so are we. Holy means fully tested. It's innocence tested. Without spot or wrinkle. Holy, therefore, means only the rightness of Christ as your life, and only the hope of the resurrection as your engine. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Fear of what? Fear that you're going to be deceived. Fear that you're going to walk away. That's why we need each other, to exhort one another daily what it is still called today. Because I promise you, left alone, you will return to self-seeking. If I didn't have to preach every morning, I would return to self-seeking, more than likely. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation or empty manner of life received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory or hope of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the conviction of things not seen. And what are the things? You have to go through always. Hope is always your evidence of anything you hope for. But it doesn't become the conviction of the thing not seen until you achieve it. And then when you achieve it, you find out it has been an empty hope. Or if you get close enough to achieve it so that you can empathize, you find out it is an empty hope. Oh, I want to go over here. Oh, I want to go over there. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. Oh, I want to fall in love. Oh, God, I'd do anything to get rid of her. Oh. The only hope is the resurrection. And therein is the faith of God. The rest of Hebrews 11 is about this true faith that has withstood the test, has withstood everything. So go back to Hebrews 11.
Can I comment here on 21? It's another one of those who by him do believe in God. It's once again, it's not anything you are responsible or able or capable of doing, but it's by him that
Amen.
All manifest.
And that's everything else. It's yeah. It's remember, we love because he loved. We believe because he is. There's no thing about you in this. You know,
yeah.
As I've said so often, I've searched the scriptures more than most, mm-hmm. and I can find no evidence of me in the scriptures.
Yeah. That tells me why his yoke is easy and burden is light. Believing for Christ is no chore. I mean,
And again, that's why you must cast all these burdens. Every time you have a burden or a thing that's going on or whatever it is, you cast it on him. You change the subject of your sentence. All right. Now, faith is a substance. Now, I think it was a guy named Kenyon who first said this. I remember reading this a long time ago. That Kenyon said that now faith is right now faith. Right now. It means that from God's standpoint, he wants you to have what you want now. Well, then a whole bunch of the charismatic preachers picked up on it, especially Copeland, but Creflo Dollar did, and Jesse Duplantis did, and Tilton did. Now faith is now. Just give your seed, and God will honor your now faith. Now. I mean, it's just goofy. You did the now faith?
When I first read it, I thought, hey, that's cool. I like the now faith.
Now is a conjunction here.
Yeah, I thought it's the eternal one. But still, I want to get stuck. It's like butt faith.
Yeah. That was what was Harry. Gary was believing in butt faith. So, Ronnie, were you ever seduced by now faith? You don't remember. Or else you're not going to confess it. Oh, you don't listen to many televangelists as I do. Now, faith is the substance, the foundation. And again, remember, the word foundation means the rock. The rock, which is Christ. And the word blasphemy is the technical word in the law, which means to deny the foundation. So any part of my mind which denies him as the foundation and the whole and the completeness, then I have committed blasphemy.
That's the whole point, is that type of preaching denies what Jesus said and turns it all into now I can get something if I believe.
Right. It's the faith. It's the death faith. It's the wine of Ephraim. It's the faith of self-seeking. It's making faith a commodity. And seed faith, or the hundredfold blessing, is a natural heresy from that belief system. If the seed faith heresy hadn't been invented by Ewing in this generation, it would have been invented by Buckner. And then the substance is the foundation, the rock. But it's the evidence is not a good word. It's a good word, but it's a stronger word. A stronger meaning is conviction. It's the totality of the conviction that rock is sure and nothing else is. So now faith is the rock of things hoped for. And if the only thing that can be hoped for is the resurrection in you. And remember, I've said so often, you must come to the same point that Jesus did. You must be honest. Father, my God, you've forsaken me. Why hast thou forsaken me? My soul is troubled. Everything is going wrong. Why have you forsaken me? And there's no answer, because you have to wait. His resurrection. And his resurrection is sure. But every single time when you say, Father, God has forsaken the earth. God has forsaken me, this earthen vessel. And then I have to instantly run up to my high places. I have to instantly lean on my own arm of understanding because God has forsaken me. And so you don't wait on Him. You faint in your mind because you return to the world for your solution. And that's called fornication or adultery.
You know, about the waiting, having the sense that, you know, God has forsaken us. I've been in that place many times. And the waiting, like, the first time I heard it was like, you know, I can't do it.
But that's why waiting, from God's standpoint, the word wait on Him and love Him are the same word. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. The only evidence of love is waiting in times when your mind tells you He's forsaken. We didn't get very far today. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
We'll probably get to through faith. You have the now faith and through faith.
There's a passage that says, you know, if we ask for something, we know that we've already received it or something like that. And that seems to be saying
now faith.
Yeah, it seems like now faith. I pray for $1 million. Well,
that has nothing to do with those scriptures. Have absolutely nothing to do with your mind. It's 1 John in the 5th chapter. Whatever we ask for, if we know that He hears us, we have it. Well, what happens in that context is, okay, I've got to convince my mind that I know that He hears me. Well, you can't do it. You can't do that until you come to the cross and accepted your death. And then you know that He hears the Son. And then you rest. And then we have whatsoever we ask for. That's why He gives us the desires of our heart. The desire of our heart isn't $1 million. That's the desire filtered through our idolatry, and it comes out of whatever, something else. Does that make sense? What?
When I was 16, I believed that I just knew that I was getting stronger, and I was getting bigger, and I was getting faster and more capable. And I was every bit as capable as you were. You love to do that.
I do what?
I was just as big a fool as you were.
I totally agree. That's why I was a spit take.
The world was...
I was going to be president.
Right. I was going to be John Glenn. The world was mine for the taking. Okay. That was at 16. Now at 60, I believe that flower of man fades. I mean, I can see people around me disintegrating. You know, the gravity is taking place, oxidation, people are turning back into dust.
Everybody's rusting.
Everybody's rusting. There's no question about it. That this is a passing and a very brief puff of smoke, which makes it now possible for me to know that these things, the substance of things hoped for, it's not things hoped for, it's the thing. There's only one thing, and anything other than Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ in me is, as you've said for years, and now I really see it, is cotton candy. It looks like, man, for $1, I'm getting a lot of candy, and it's real pink and colorful and wow, and you put it in your mouth and it disappears. It's sweet and it disappears. There's nothing, there is no substance there, and I know that.
The same is true with the world. Think of it. You believe me when I say that everything in the universe, if you took space out of it, would fit into a dot that's smaller than your eye can see? The only thing that makes something valuable is its hardness. And the most valuable thing in the universe are diamonds. And they're nothing but electrons moving really fast. But there's still space. There's nothing there. This table is only hard because the electron movement is fast. The water is only soft because the electron movement is slower. But there is no reality. Everything, the universe, is a puff of smoke. The only reality is the sun. For by him and for him and through him were all things created, and all things exist by him. And I know that. I mean, there's no debate. I mean, the whole universe is cotton candy. It's not just the gospel that the people, that the idiots are preaching. I hurt my knuckle.
Well, I can't yet empathize the end of the universe, but I can empathize my end. My end is almost visible. It's over the hill.
Everybody, all your friends are dying.
It's coming. I now can pretty much know there's an end to this, which is a great blessing.
Amen. I mean, I've wanted the end to be, I've wanted my end for years. I've wanted to go home. I know this isn't my home. This has nothing to do with who I am, except it's the place of testing. Now I see, and I know why that I'm still here, but I would much rather be gone.
I think Satan's greatest invention is the little spray can you can buy at a new car smell. I think that's a great example of what we all chase after.
You know, the new car smell isn't the leather. Everybody thought it was the leather.
It's the plastic.
One of the chemicals in the plastic that gives it the new car smell.
Like the candle, spray away sin.
It's like we all spend our lives thinking if we get a new car, it'll be wonderful.
Please, I pray that you understand this. I pray that it's apprehended you. But if there is any question, as I said and have been saying, search the scriptures to see whether these things be true. Amen?
Is Carolyn... Carolyn just pointed out, none of that is to say that we don't need some decent vehicles with air conditioning.
Yeah, out there in computer land has a car, we need, all our cars are 13 years old and no air conditioning in Texas. Okay, now take a big guy.
No more coats.